Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Per usual introduction. Right, hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 94, and I think I've been as up and down as United, so I'm not going to say sorry, that was a bit gloomy and not with it and down last time, because I don't think you should ever say sorry for your moods, and you're all mates, and I know the people I'm chatting to are mates, so they wouldn't want me to say sorry, but obviously, yeah, lockdown and all that. And it's the little things in life. The school that my boy goes to had organised Santa coming round on Saturday, and we waited and he was just going to like wave outside. And the little things like that can give you a bit of hope and all that. So I'm much better. And I think maybe if we're kinning it to United, because obviously we won, we were all doom lad and we didn't know, you know, that I've come to the realisation that obviously international breaks are shit. But if United win a game and then we don't play, I'm really happy. So I don't think United should play for another year. Just like, let's live off the Everton result. Because I'm much happier knowing that United won the last game and not worrying about it and the next fixture. So international breaks are shit. But United-wise, I like them. I will say sorry for one thing, though. I watched about 15 minutes of San Marino versus Gibraltar at the weekend. And you know when you're stuck in like a nothingness that you just can't move, your brain just freezes. And I thought, 10 minutes has passed here and I haven't done anything. I haven't changed the bleeper. So international breaks can get it to you. But we won. My wider concern, I'm going through old things, match of the days to get a clear space on the planner. And I watched the Brighton game again. And I thought after it, in my little plateau of United not playing for a while, Manchester United this season are going to be Brighton away. It is going to be batshit crazy. It could go one way, could go the next. They hit the post three or four times or whatever it was. And I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. I personally feel we are never going to be more than one or two games from a disaster. It's going to be Brighton away all season. So Everton, great result. Got to win on Saturday against West Brom. But United this season, I think that's what we are. So I've just got to accept it. Right, following on from Shane confusing me last time, Deirdre Barlow, he's obsessed with bringing a Deirdre into it. Dear Deirdre was the Sun agony aunt. Claire Rayner was the one I was on about, who's the Mirror agony aunt. And do you know who does one of the agony aunt columns? This says the decline of the human race. Colleen Nolan does an agony aunt column. What the fuck? Right, I'm joined by Nick, Ben, Shane, Coggy. Thanks, everyone. Nick, hit me with your rhythm stick. About United. Come on. It sounds like I'm on Prozac since the last one. I'm not, but...
Well, you know, I said to be confident, I always said that Ole's going to perform better when he's got his back up against the wall. I went back through our results last year, actually. I'm pretty sad, and I went through the first few fixtures of the season last year. Did you know it took us 10 league games to get 3 wins last year?
Yeah, which is the point Ollie said after Arsenal, which I took exception to, because we shouldn't be comparing it to last year.
No, well, and, you know, it's in terms of progress. You know, we've got 3 wins on the board after 7 games, so, you know, we've got more points than what we did at this stage last season. I just feel that people need to calm down a little bit. You know, I was going back through some of the stuff that I'd couldn't like on Twitter, and I'd seen some guy who basically compared Fred to Pele after the Leipzig game. And then the next thing you do is you see the game against Chelsea and then Arsenal, and then it's like the same people aren't fit to even breathe, let alone wear the shirt. And you just think, everybody just needs to calm the fuck down. It's just, I've stopped going on there. I have to stop going on there at the moment. But like you say, I was so buzzing after the Everton game. I thought we played really well. I thought Fred was excellent. I thought Maguire was excellent. He really needed that game. I just saw that performance coming a million miles away. And the problem's going to be is when we play 2 holding midfielders at Old Trafford against West Brom on Saturday night, we get knocked out again. Because at home, we just can't do the business, can we?
No, you have a point. And I do think maybe it's the media intensity, but we're much more obsessed with everything now than we used to be. You know, like there's no slowing down. So it's just a momentum. Like my mood has been, I've been on Twitter a couple of times. I plug the mag, please buy the mag. And then I've got off it during an international break because it doesn't do. But there's a frenzy about it all. But I will say, you text me after the last one, Nick, or WhatsApp me, and you went, you know, stop the negativity. We're Man United. We're not Doncaster. And it's a double-edged sword that we've mentioned. No, but you've got to have high standards, especially the way the Glazers treat us. We deserve to have these high standards. But I get it. We share something that's great, and sometimes we get caught with it all. We'll beat West Brom. I will say, before I move on, the little things, Ollie listens to this podcast. So there was I and a few of us moaning about his iPads. I don't know if you saw his interview with, the Norwegian striker. Not Ollie, yeah, not with himself. Yeah. Fjortoff. So he says, Ollie actually said this, I've put away my iPad. I'm pitch side a lot more often. You have to create your own atmosphere. And he hints that that was the wrong thing. So we were calling that right. The other thing I would say that made me laugh, and I'll pick on Fred, I'm on one now, but do you see Fernandez's interview? Farrell's mentioned it in the forum. He's done a podcast, which is good. But he actually says, Fred has had a good patch, but to sum up why I have wider concerns, he says that we were watching Carrick in training, and Fernandez actually says, I feel like turning to Fred and saying, that's like how you do it. Carrick retired 4 years ago. Right, sorry. So, Nick, go on.
Well, on that as well, I don't know if you listen to the official Man United podcast, not to plug any of us out there, but it's quite good, and the one that came out today with Bruno Fernandes, and it's quite a listen to, actually, really, because he's definitely an absolute born winner. I think if you're looking for a bit of positivity and you're feeling a bit gloomy about Man United at the moment, for whatever reason, you know, if you're like Nathan and you're just a miserable bastard 24/7, you need to stick that on for an hour, because this morning I was bouncing on the way. I've never been so excited to play West Brom at home. Get that podcast on. It's a very, very good listen to, because he's definitely a real keeper and a future leader.
No, I get that, but how do we move away from the up and downness? Look, you can tell how happy I am because we haven't played and we haven't had a morose kick in the bollocks of United. Coggy, so.
I mean, we'll change when the team changes, won't we? I mean, if the team puts together a consistent run of victories, it'll be absolutely fantastic, but we don't know whether that's going to happen. I agree with you. It's going to be a roller coaster this season. You know, we'll win a few games, then we'll lose the game that you expect us to win. And I think that's the way it's going to be, until we, get a level of consistency. But you know, if the team wins, we're as happy as anything. If they lose, we're down.
But we've got to get away. If it is going to be that kind of season, we can't keep doing that to ourselves, Coggy. Like I mentioned a couple of times, we can't keep taking it this seriously. We're not there.
And what I've done actually is I've deleted every United fan I know on Twitter, and I just follow rival fans now because they're more generous to United than we are ourselves. None of them say Pogba and Fred should fuck off. In fact, they want them to stay. So it's quite entertaining. I just think you've got to keep off social media, to be honest. There's some right morons out there. I think you've just got to keep away from them.
But we do have a right, I've mentioned before, I can be a hypocrite. We do have a right to have these high expectations, but equally, to Nick's point, that we can't join that, that mentality that everything's bad and everything's right. Claire Rayner, Shane?
Yeah, well, a bit like Nick has gone on about it in fairness to him, about the kind of, backs to the wall kind of situation. And it just, I've droned on in the past about the lack of mental resilience in this United squad, but the games like Everton prove they can do it. They can, when under pressure and going a goal behind, which compounds it, they can come good. And it just, you kind of got to replicate that for each game. And it's just kind of, it's as though they need that kind of back to the wall stuff. And we just need to make that more of a regular, performance and more competitive. So I thought on Fernandes, he was class again. But the thing that pleased me more, and it kind of noticed more against Everton, was the fact that he was a bit of a nasty fucker. He was really up for that game, and he was niggly. He was a sort of player that when you're in an opposition fan, you hate watching them. And I really enjoyed that. I thought that's a sort of sort of an alternate that we really need in the United side. We haven't had that edge for some years, in fact. So I think that was a real positive. I thought Fred, a bit double-edged for me, like Fred's on good form and thought he was probably my man of the match, but goes back to Nick's point, really, that the fact that Fred's playing well means that, you know, Fred and McTominay are becoming a bit of a mainstay of our sort of starting lineup, which then inhibits, you know, like getting Van de Beek opportunities and the more kind of flair attacking players. So that's a bit double-edged for me, and I don't know what the answer is, but obviously Ole thinks, you know, we need that backbone to have any protection of the defence. I thought Maguire, again, as Nick said, repeating, I thought he really needed a big performance. I thought he was, you know, edging for man the match himself. Really, really class. And I thought kind of Ole as well, kind of the post-match, you know, I don't really pay much heed to press conferences and that, but I thought that was an important one for Ole. He come out fighting. Obviously, he needed the result to do that, but he cleverly had a pop at the TV scheduling, which in itself was a valid point. But I think it was a bigger issue there that he was deflecting from his players. You know, he didn't want to answer questions about that. They just won. Let's just bank that. And, you know, cynically, you could say that he was also kind of making his excuses for international break to protect some of his players and send a warning to Southgate not to kind of jeopardise injuries. So I thought it was good to see Ole coming out fighting and just show a bit more steel and kind of back to the wall, as Nick said. So I thought overall I was on a bit of a high after Everton. So I think the only thing for me is the persistence of Pogba coming on. Like, I don't think we should keep kicking Pogba, but I think Van de Beek deserves a chance to come on before Pogba. You know, Pogba doesn't come on and offer much for me.
I like that Donny, I saw his goal for Holland. He knows where the goal is. If you want to start scoring for more areas in the pitch, we all obviously want to see him and see how it'll thing. But the Ole thing, we were asking, show some more fight. And even the iPad, I know some people don't like hearing he's learning on the job for a man who's been a manager for 10 years. But if he is identifying little shortcomings that hopefully, you know, I don't know, there's no point. We could be here in 2 weeks talking about Ollie's future again. So I think we should just block out those bits. Ben?
Sorry, muted there. I think the Everton game is fading into the memory a bit now, but it was a really good performance. I agree with everything that's been said on that. And I think Shane's just mentioned it, but probably the biggest positive of the whole thing was Ollie's press conference at the end, because that sort of showed that there's a bit of fight left in him. I think if we talked in the last pod about some of his press conferences in the last few weeks, he's sort of had that air of a beaten man about him, and he came out fighting really in that game. So that was nice to see. I agree, particularly with Maguire. I thought Maguire was excellent in that game and really needed a big game, as has been said. And I think, you know, if he can get back to some kind of form, that makes a big difference to the defence, you know, generally, because he hasn't looked like it so far this season, but he is the natural leader in that back five. And I think him and Fernandes Fernandes definitely, and I would put Maguire alongside him as the best two players last season. And neither of them have really started this season well. You know, Fernandes hasn't been dreadful. He's not been at the same level Maguire has. But, you know, I think we need those two to be at the top of the game, really, if we've got any chance this season.
Oh, Ben, that wasn't you falling down. I hope it was the phone.
It was the phone. All I would say, though, is that all that said, it was a good performance, but it was one good performance. The issue, you know, I predicted we'd lose that game before. I won't claim otherwise. But, you know, it's no great shock to anyone that we turned up and to put a good performance in, because there have been performances like that over the last couple of years. The issue, as I said last time, and what I still think will ultimately do for Ole, is the inconsistency. And, you know, we probably will beat West Brom, but, you know, how far away is the next bad performance and the next bad result? So, sorry to be the...
I think
we can't get too carried away, can we?
When I was writing notes for this, I feel like a 90-year-old looking out the window and seeing it snowed and worrying about going to get the paper because it's just icy. That is United's future. You're just worried about what comes next. I think Fernandes makes a you don't want to be a one-man team or a team relying on one player. But he, if we're playing well, and it's been since January, then United played well. And I thought, like, I did see, you know, I'm not going to, but a couple of people knocking him, saying, what's he done? I'd watch that Brighton game, and his pass to Rashford, I mean, is sublime, the pace on it. So he is a player, you know, if he's on form, we're on form, but you want to get away from that. Is anyone, we were here 2 years ago with Pogba and his comments on international duty, you know, it might have been taken out of context in some way or another, but it's familiar bollocks, isn't it? And I'm just tired of it. I'm tired. I wouldn't even give it a mention because fuck it.
We've done Pogba to death. Yeah. I think the one, I can't remember where it was, somewhere on social media, someone had commented on the story, basically saying the only headline I want to see regarding Paul Pogba and Manchester United finishes with he's left. And I think that's where I'm at with him now.
I think it does get taken out of context, in fairness to him, but it's kind of irrelevant, really. It's just that there's lots of noise around him. And when you get lots of noise, there's got to be that. You'd accept that if the performances on the pitch were contributing, but there's more negative than positives.
Yeah, but just look at the difference. And I know Van der Beek's new to the club, but just look at the difference with his interview and Pogba's. You know, where he's saying, look, you know, I am frustrated because I'm not getting the games. I want to play, but I'm actually loving my time at the club. And it's great, and everybody's helping me. Pogba, for obvious reasons, he's saying the exact opposite. It's like a breath of fresh air to get away. Well, you know, he's responsible for his own destiny, and he's been poor, hasn't he?
Yeah, but it wouldn't surprise me, Coggy, if Ed Woodward, to keep his own ego and feed his own, you know, that he'd offer him a daft contract, because I can't see Madrid or Juventus wanting to take him back at the numbers, you know, that we'd want. I just can't see it. Maybe Madrid out of a desperation if their season keeps, but what's he actually going to add? You know, like, you'd if you're Juventus, you'd go, well, don't make that mistake. And if you're Madrid, surely you see the things, you know, the warning signs. It's just a bit tight. It's a bit sad, though, isn't it?
Well, I think regardless of all the off-field antics, you wouldn't sign him on the basis of the last 4 years at United, would you? Mm. You know, his performances have just not warranted.
No, but how are we still?
He's not scored enough goals. He's not created enough goals. He's not won enough games or been influential in enough games. I mean, you know, maybe they look at France more, but you know, they certainly wouldn't look at what he's done for us and think this is a player we've got to sign.
Although
I do think maybe Italian football, Spanish football and French probably suits his game better than the English game. I think the English game, being that little bit faster, probably more physical, I don't know, doesn't suit his game.
But how are we, Coggy?
You wouldn't pay big money for him, would you?
And Coggy, we're on the fourth, is it the fourth spell where he's been dropped by United manager for your supposed marquee player? You just could tell the experiment and say it's just not happening. It worked, huh? Nick, what are you watching, by the way? You're distracted. Are you watching like Albanian baseball or something?
No, not at all. I'm deep in thought.
Oh, okay. You've got a screen on there.
Baseball, I have to say, I do think his context, you know, sorry, some of his comments might have been taken a little bit out of context, because I read the first part of his comments and I thought, do you know what? I kind of agree. He was saying, you know, I need to be in these levels consistently. I need to be doing this week in, week out. You know, I've not been good enough. I'm finally getting back into it. So he's admitted that he's not been good enough. So in effect, his comments are kind of justifying why Ole has dropped him at the start of the season. Then when he turns around and says, well, it's a breath of fresh air, it's kind of like, well, you're the reason why probably a lot of the negativity is around the club at the moment. You're the one that attracts the most media attention. You're probably responsible for most of it that's around there. You know, he's like that person, isn't he? Like when you work in an office and you walk in and you think, oh, God, there's that twat again. He's that person, isn't it? And that's where
Nick,
anger and the hatred comes from. It's not me before you say it.
No, but Nick, I wasn't going to say, I said if United was an office, I think they'd be thinking there's a fair few twats in there.
Yeah, I know. And to be fair, when he says it's a breath of fresh air, though, if I walked into the office every day and I walked at Man United thinking, fucking hell, it's Bill Jones again, and look at him trying to pass the ball, and then I go to France and I'm sat there with Griezmann and Mbappe and Kante, I'm thinking, damn fucking right, it's a breath of fresh air. So I think, as much as I don't like Paul Pogba and I want to get rid of him, I've made that clear, I still think lay off him. I don't really think there's the right lot in those comments there. And it's just, you know, since the national break, there's not really a lot going on. Let's talk about Paul Pogba again. And it's just, I'm fucking bored of it. Can we just, if he needs a lift to Madrid, I'll take him to my Igo. I'm bored of hearing about it.
But yeah, hang on, you just said Phil Jones kicking a ball. So is he uninjured now? Have you got an exclusive for...
I just use, he's an easy scapegoat, isn't he? That's why I was...
Is Phil Jones listed now as fit?
You've got Eric Bailly, Jesse Lingard.
But the thing is, you can't. But you can't just blame. Pogba is systematic of all the problems. Here's the natural break. Right, hang on. I'm going to play a clip of Jose to show how United can affect someone. These lot, I can't hear it because I've fucked it up. But it's Jose unravelling. I mean, it's just bonkers. It's like Van Gaal with his sheet. It just can get to you, United.
On the season 16-17, Marcus Rashford played 32 Premier League matches, 11 Europa League matches, including the final, 3 FA Cup matches, 6 League Cup matches, including the final, and the Community Shield. He had 53 appearances, but if you want to take to the minutes of play, he played 3,068 minutes, and if you want to divide that by 90 minutes of the matches, he played 34.2 matches of 90 minutes on the 16-17. That of not participating in this kind of discussion. So obviously I hope they will agree. Obviously I hope. One thing is that he's a talented player that everybody knows he is. Since he was in Monaco, everybody knows he was a talented player. Another thing is a talented player with consistency and understanding of what a football match is in the globality. So when you reach that level, or when you are almost reaching that level, is when you become a player. What I say, a top player. Because one thing is top talent, another thing is top player. So when he is now...
Right, so that's what happens. And then I'm going to, Nick, but we have to talk about Martial's performance at Everton. So I'm going to play another clip of Jose, and they do say I'm obsessed. So I'm like an addict weaning myself off Jose time. But it's 2 years ago, and Jose says, you know, Martial isn't consistent, and here we are. And I thought if there was a debatable player at Everton, it was Martial again, and he's not started the season well again. I shouldn't go to Nick, actually. Ben. Nick, but we know what Nick's going to say, so fuck that off. Ben.
Yeah, well, I mean, he definitely hasn't started the season well. And, you know, the point of around consistency stands that Jose made too. I think Jose made it 2 years ago. Roy Keane said it last season, I think, after the derby when we beat City away. You know, he's got to be doing them performances every week, not one in three. And obviously, this year, he seems to have gone backwards. What I would say is, I think up front is that there's been a worry all round, because I don't think Rashford's form returned really either. I know he had that hat-trick against Leipzig, but that was a bit of a freak, you know, sort of 20 minutes. But he's looked off the pace in a lot of games, including Everton as well. So I think the two of them are worrying really at this stage. I guess one of the positives was Cavani coming in and scoring. You know, if he can give a bit of genuine competition up there, then that's going to be positive for us.
I will disagree with you there, but I think Rashford's been all right. I think Brighton, I think he's actually looked a bit nearer form.
I'm convinced. I mean, I think we talked a lot at the end of last season about carrying an injury and stuff, and I still don't think he looks quite there, Rashford. He's playing better than Martial, don't get me wrong, but I mean, even I didn't think Rashford played well in Paris. I mean, he scored that goal at the end. But again, that night I just felt everything was just a little bit off, like he was just making the wrong decision, he was delaying with shooting, he was just picking the wrong pass, just little things. I just don't think he's quite there either.
Mm-hmm. And Coggy?
I agree. I mean, for me, you know, apart from the delayedness aspects regarding Martial, and maybe Rashford too, they're not clinical enough anyway. You know, they miss far too many chances. you know, we need somebody who's going to give us 25, 30 goals a season plus. And I don't think we've either of those are those players. So, you know, I accept what everybody says about Martial and everything, but, you know, we need a clinical goal scorer. You know, now maybe Greenwood will turn into that, but at 18 years old or 19, you know, he's still got a lot of developing to do. But the two of them, I think for me, I've got concerns over both of them. And I agree with Ben, I don't think either of them started particularly well, but then who has at the team, you know, I think De Gea's probably had a good start to the season, and Shaw was okay, but has anybody else started really well for us?
No, they have been improving though, De Gea, Wan-Bissaka, I think maybe that, yeah. What Ollie was saying about the lack of preparation, and what, you know, he went into detail again with that Fjortov, and you think you'd like to hear more of that him saying, you know, a couple of players were quarantined at the start. Things we didn't, you know, you sort of knew, but he confirmed it. So it couldn't have been easy. But I'm not trying to excuse it because it's been, we just can't keep doing this silly dance. Shane, how are you coping with no Panto next couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's the one good thing of this COVID lockdown is that I haven't got to endure Panto.
Yeah, but no, you said there's good Panto, so you could be missing a good Panto.
That's fair enough, yeah. I don't really want to talk about Pantos. It's too traumatic for me opening up. But the link is the Panto with Martial. And I do think Nick's side has got a point that I've always thought Martial looks to me as though he's the one that's got the natural ability, that bit of class, to really kind of be a game changer. But it's just, I think as Ben said, it's just, I guess you could say for the whole team, but particularly for him, it's the inconsistency. And I think we get too many off days where he just doesn't look up for it. Whether that's confidence or his attitude, I don't know. I think Rashford has done well, but I do agree with Ben that he kind of, I thought against Everton, he was quite slow to release the ball at times when there was opportunities. And as Coggy said, he still needs to get a bit more clinical with his finishing, albeit he does, you know, does score some decent goals as well. But I think Rashford, in fairness to him, his effort and his endeavours there, he just needs to find some consistency and get back to sort of, I guess, if it's not quite there yet. I think Cavani scoring, as Ben said, is a big plus. I think he could, you know, I don't think we would have probably, we kind of wasn't the signing we expected at the start of the summer, but if he can bang in a few goals, and I think it'd be good for him to get a start and give some of the others a rest and shake it up, and just to make the point that he's not going to be here as a sort of an impact sub. And I think, you know, we need someone that's clinical, because we could be scratching, you know, there might be off days where we get few chances and we need to tuck those away and get, because they're the sorts of, those sort of scratchy performances when it's a case of taking your chances. And he looks to me as though a player that will take his chances if he gets.
Well, he's had three shots on target in his limited minutes and all have been on target, which is a novelty at United. I will say that is one of the worst. I laughed. That's one of the worst links ever, Shane. A tenuous. But I'm going on another worse one. As my last, sorry, giddiness. I've not had a beer tonight, but we have got a beer mat with the next Red News. A lot of people working their bollocks off. It'll be out just before Christmas. Someone put, well, beer mats can join your list of whole bunches, spam fritters that aren't around. Then I thought penis enlargement emails, which I used to quite admire and like, and thought, shall I nominate myself? But you don't get those anymore. But I did get a very nice spam, you know, ransom threat the other week. And it went, it was the most civilised ransom you could ever get. It said, I have very unfortunate news for you. Oh, I thought, that's very nice of you. And then it said, I have a video of where you work on yourself. Gets better. To be clear, you are performing a sex act. To be clear. And then I thought, thanks for clearing that one up. And then it says, it ended with, please don't blame me or yourself for this. But pay £2,000 or something. And then it went, good luck, don't stress.
That's nice.
I thought, if you're going to send...
Was that from Steve?
yeah, that was... But I thought, if you are going to get these spam emails, make them like that, because that is fucking genius. And, right, sorry, tangent, but it did make me laugh. Right, Coggy?
Well, I've been writing Christmas cards today.
Do they say you've been performing a sex act?
I've been writing Christmas cards. They're five cantonars Christmas cards, and I've sent them to three City fans. Well, I will be sending them to three City fans. I'm quite chilled about everything, to be honest.
Well, I think that's because we've not played, Coggy. I honestly think we're all a bit D-mob happy because we've not watched United and had the stress for 10 days. We've got a mad period starting now, which will be relentless. And if lockdown goes to tier four and fives or whatever, that we're going to have this grim period of not, you know, not being out, just having United, it could fucking... I don't know, what is in store?
Have we got midweek games now every week until Christmas?
We've got three European games, haven't we, and the Everton's quarterfinals.
So, and we've got one league.
At least four of those.
And we've got a league game.
6 weeks now.
We've got a league game, Sheffield United, haven't we, as well, in December?
Right, yeah.
So it must be. So that is... So again, in a side that has no momentum and can lose and gain confidence, that is... not good recipe to go in like.
I think the biggest game we've got coming up is the Turkish side at home, because if we don't get 3 points there, then we're really in trouble again in that group, aren't we? With PSG and Leipzig to finish.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a huge game.
I think it's City.
When is that? Is that next week? Or?
It's a week to. What day is it today? Tuesday, a week tomorrow.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. It's so fucked that I struggled, and it's not helped by the TV, even though we've got fuck all to do, them changing games so late. I just think it's so weird for us all anyway, not being there. But they change games late, Saturday, 8 o'clock. You have no idea of who we're playing. I've just got... We've got Leeds in a month.
Yeah, we've got Leeds and City, haven't we? So there's, you know...
Yeah.
For me... And West Ham away, which is a bit of a bogey ground these days. I don't know. I just, Nick, feed us with the positivity drug, but we need to win. No, we do, though, Nick. Sorry, serious tones, but we need to win about 8 out of the next 10.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you look at a lot of the injuries that have come back after the international break and stuff, and so far, fingers crossed, we seem to have come back relatively unscathed from it. I think that could be quite a good positive. I think the squad's a little bit deeper than what it has been as well. You know, you look at some of the other squads where they've decided to throw a few other players in there, and you think, you know, you'll see them starting to drop points. I think, you know, look at Liverpool with the amount of injuries they've had. You know, I think that we might be all right, even if we had a few niggles to a couple of players. But I think when you've got a big stretch of games coming up like that, you're going to need the full squad, aren't you? You know, you're going to be seeing a bit more of Donny van der Beek. I think you'll see plenty more of him. You're going to be seeing plenty of Paul Pogba. I'm sure of it over the coming weeks. Everyone's going to be getting enough of a game and enough of a run out to keep everybody happy.
Yeah, but it's not that, Nick. I mean, it's not fuck what the players and who's playing. They have to. We've got 11 games in the next. I've just worked it out. 11 games in 38 days. So, you know, if we all want, not all of us think Ollie will survive it, but if we all want him to survive, he has to do what he did after lockdown last time. But this is not, again, it's nothing new. We're saying the same things.
I think for Solskjaer now, it's going to be a real test, because after lockdown, we went on that amazing run. And basically, whether, you know, maybe unfair to say he stumbled upon it, he got a formula where, and he basically just kept the same team week after week, same formation, and it was working. We were winning games, apart from the Chelsea game where he changed it. There's no way he can do that over the next month, is there, with the number of games we've got. So he's going to have to really earn his money in terms of, you know, changing, rotating, picking the right team for the right game. So it's going to be really, really challenging.
Part of it. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's going to be a massive part of whether he lives or dies by it. You know, he's got to make sure that he gets it right. You know, I completely agree with what Ben said.
I think that what we've said before is that if we're shit and we're there, at least we can drown our sorrows, share gallows humour. When we're shit and we're at home, it's bad. When we're good, we can just get away with it and think, God, imagine that end. You know, imagine United. We've missed some absolute belting away days. Because if our form away is good, can you imagine those United ends? Even just the Brighton winner, the way we did it. So to go on Nick's point of how great being a United fan is, that has been taken away. It's nothing new, but it's almost like criminal, you know, Shane?
Yeah. Well, I think
out a bit. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And it's like it is bit, you know, the good results are a bittersweet. Obviously, at this stage, we've accepted it. You want to see United be well, and it does give you a lift. But it is bittersweet not being there. And I thought, like, just on a bit of a tangent, but I felt sad that you know, like with Nobby Styles passing away, that there wasn't a chance to be at the ground. Like, it's one of those players that you kind of like, you know, the justifiable kind of memories and all the kind of plaudits that were shared were genuine across Japan clubs, weren't they? It's not one that it wasn't just a United thing. And I think he's one of those players who genuinely proud that was your player, you know, for your club. And I think, you know, imagine the reception and the kind of tribute that could have happened at Old Trafford for him, you know. And it's kind of things like that I kind of think we missed out on. But obviously, you know, there's bigger things in the world. But it makes a football. I'm kind of quite optimistic that if we get a result on Saturday and get a bit of momentum and confidence building, I think we could go on a good run before Christmas now. I think there's enough. I think, you know, I agree with Ben. He's got to kind of earn his crust with the rotation. But I think this season so far, he showed a willingness to change things about and play the like matter more than he did at the back end of last season, where he didn't seem to trust the sort of the players that weren't in that kind of winning formula. So I'm pretty optimistic, and I think I'm optimistic we'd go on a good run now before Christmas.
I would, you know, like you touch on it, we're losing Reds, which is really sad. Like there's Woodsy, there's K-Stan, Steve. This horrible period has not helped. Then we had Albert Quicksall, Styles, then the news about Sir Bobby. And you just think, and there's a greater level of debate about dementia, you know, the football and the cost that had. And I felt, you know, the family had to say, you know, don't go to Old Trafford. But it was really sad because you think what that street would have been under normal circumstances to just, I think the family, I've met his son, you know, they appreciate how much he was loved for United, but it's just horrible. You know, like you turn on the news and you're thinking, and to hear good Reds passing as well, it's just fucking, I can't wait to see the end of this year. I just can't, you know, no, I'm not usually into that, but fuck off 2020. Right, Nick, give us a fucking impassioned. Come on.
I think we'll win the next two games. I'm really confident about it. I think, you know, there's not too many players that went away on international break, so I think we'll come back reasonably fresh. I think we'll be able to kick on for that. I think you can't really start worrying about games, you know, that are going to be, you know, in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks' time and stuff. You just need to focus on the next game. And, you know, I think that we'll win on Saturday. I think it'll be ugly. I don't think it's going to be a particularly enjoyable game, but I think we'll find a way to get through it, and I think we'll find a way to get through the next game and get ourselves onto 9 points in the group. So, you know, if you're just looking at those next two over the next 7 days, I'm very confident.
Yeah, but all right, Nick, are you content then, knowing that if it's as up and down as that as we fear, that will cost Ollie his job?
I mean, it's been up and down, hasn't it, for the time that he's been here, and he's still here.
Well, it's been up and down for 7 years.
How long can he keep the ups going for, and how bad do the downs get? You know, it's like, we know it's going to be up and down, but, you know, is it going to be a case of where you can go on a run of winning 10-plus matches in a row, or being unbeaten in 15 games in a row? You know, and that's really, really good. And then all of a sudden, you lose at home to, you know, somebody like a West Brom, for example, on Saturday, and then suddenly everyone starts having a bit of a meltdown.
Yeah, but you know, we can't afford it.
It's all going to be relative for where you are.
Yeah, of course. But we can't.
It's going to be pretty close this year, so we're going to be there or thereabouts.
Bloody hell. All right.
Not in terms of winning the league. I mean, like, in terms of top four, because we can't really expect any more than that. But I think the league's going to be that tight that there's going to be teams slipping up left, right and centre. It's going to be unpredictable. I don't think we're going to be a million miles away from it. Like, you know, certain other years where you think, God, we're 15 points off the top four. I don't think it'll be like that this season, but I think it'll be up and down, but I just think we'll still be able to go and run some winning games.
Yeah, but then we go on the loop of, you know, we're eyeing fourth, we're there or thereabouts on fourth, Jesus. But I would say in this level of contentness, United not playing, I have been more thoughtful about Ollie, and I do think whatever happens, let's see. You know, if fourth is his target by the Glazers, let's just see how this season pans out. I don't want him sacked next month unless we lose, you know, a ridiculous. I just want to see if he can dig out, if he can dig us out of a hole enough to see where he can stand, you know. But if you can't go forward from third last year and then you're treading water again. I don't know. How many times have we had this conversation, Ben?
I don't know how important results will be, to be honest, because either Woodward's got it in his mind he wants to stick with it, or he's got it in his mind he wants Pochettino. And whatever the results happen over the next 4 or 5 weeks or so, you know, Woodward, he's either going to go one or the other, whatever the results will be. He'll either stick with Ollie to the end, or he wants the glamour, you know, for want of a better term, for Pochettino.
What we had in the mag that Pochettino wants his future sorted by January, so he wants, there might be two big Spanish clubs in for him, so that will maybe be taken out of Woodward's hands. You know, the way that Barcelona and Real Madrid's form is dicky, you don't know, do you? But that might make, I get what you're saying, that might make Ed itchy. Sorry, Ben.
I think that's hit the nail on the head, really. I think Woodward has made his mind up. You know, there's reports that they've made approaches in the same way they did with Ollie when Mourinho was nearing the end, and the same way they did with Mourinho when Van Gaal was struggling. I think they've worded him up already, and I think that it's just a matter of time, in my opinion. And the thing with Woodward is, he's basically got no balls, has he? So he's going to wait for a bad run of results, which I think, as much as I don't like to say, I think there is. I would look at sort of City Leeds around that spell if you lose a couple around then. But I mean, if Woodward really, if he does want Pochettino, if we're to believe that, he should have really gone with it after Everton when there was an international break. You know, if you've made your mind up for the man you want, then have the balls to act on it. But I don't think that'll happen. I think he'll wait until there's another sticky run. But I still think Ollie will be gone by Christmas, I'm sorry to say it.
But Ben, Woodward is an indecisive, incompetent, he makes bad decisions, so he hasn't got it in him to make... He never manages, you know, if you are a clinical, you know, communicator and decision maker, then Woodward's failed the test many, many, many times, you know. Right, Shane?
Well, that's the thing that you kind of hit it on the head there. Look, let's say hypothetically he has made his mind up about Pochettino, but if Barcelona and or Real Madrid are sniffing around, Woodward hasn't got a chance. He will fuck it up. You know, his indecision and baffing around and or spouting off and saying the wrong thing will probably fuck it up. So I think I'm more optimistic that Ollie will get the results, and that will make it very difficult for Woodward to get rid of him. And I don't want. I desperately want Ole to stay, but I think in any event, I think there's a good chance of Woodward fucking it up, even if he had made his mind up. So I think the cards are looking in Ole's favour.
The glee I had for Cummings' departure because of that twat setting into motion everyone thinking, you know, well, what's the point of any of it? That if that is a precursor for how much satisfaction I'd take for Woodward being out of the job, I thought the champagne, I'm going to put a bottle of champagne in the fridge to fucking hope that Woodward goes in 2021.
And just a complete random tangent. I'm a Celebrity has come on the TV, and you started off with mentioning Colleen Nolan. And wasn't Jane Ritchie the fucking EastEnders twat? Was he not married to Colleen Nolan?
Shane.
So he's, yeah.
How would I know that?
How do you know that?
And
Shane, he claims to be a United fan, doesn't he, Shane?
I don't know.
They all do, don't they, Coggy? They all do, Coggy.
I didn't know where that was going then. When you started talking about I'm a Celebrity, I thought you were going to start telling us about Beverly Callard, aka Liz McDonald. Another one of your fancies.
That one bloke's happy place is Turf Moor. I mean,
I've got none of Bev's fitness videos anymore.
On Shane's tangent there, in many, many moons ago, it reminds me of the Phil Mitchell in the United shirt, you know, memes that go round. We bumped into, after a game, a few of us in Camden Town bumped into Phil Mitchell, and he'd said in the papers that he was a United fan, was he? Fuck, he doesn't go. But anyway, I can remember we had a night and he started saying, oh, I'll get a drink, Sim. So we got in a round with him. Anyway, it was going smoothly. It was going very smoothly. Then his then girlfriend comes over and she starts chatting. And then I uttered the very drunken words, but you've got to admit, EastEnders is shit. That was the end of any lovely blossoming, you know. He could have picked me up before a game. Right, come on. Last words, you lot. Nick, have you got any celebrity naked saunas? Any celebrity meets in bars?
No, certainly not got any celebrity naked stories, no.
But, right, you need to...
One of Roxanne Pallett pretty much on the train back from Wembley with Wazza. I think that was still the highlight.
You need to send everyone listening one of your WhatsApp messages, because I afterwards was... I've been in that mood ever since. Glory, glory, Man United. Come on.
It'll all be fine. You know, we get to watch United on a Saturday night. I mean, it's great. I mean, all right, we're not going there, fair enough. But, you know, Saturday night is brilliant.
Fist pumps.
We absolutely sloshed by 8 o'clock. The football's going to be great.
I'm quite happy about the kickoff. I'm embracing the armchair fan life now. If it had been a home game, moved to 8 o'clock, and I was going, I'd be raging. But this is perfect for me. Get the kids to bed. Bedtime's done by about 7:45. Takeaway arrives. Sit down, watch the game. Happy days.
It's... You're selling it on me, but it's not right, is it? It's not right.
It's not really, but, you know... But
it is what it is.
It's about fans going to games, isn't it? If there's no fans going, it doesn't really make a difference to me. It's good to be viewing time, isn't it? Let's be honest.
It just seems like we're getting further away from going. But that's a... You know, that's for another... We've been saying that for a while. Right, we are all... There was a couple of fist pumps then. We're all happy.
Yeah, I think we're only going to lose one or two games before Christmas at most.
That sounds defeatist, though, Shane. Come on.
Well, no, but I think we could go unbeaten, but we might have the odd blip. But I think as long as the kind of... I think we're going to go for a spell where the good stuff's going to outweigh the shit shows. And I think we'd be in a good place for Christmas.
I just say, if we go unbeaten between now and Christmas, I shall buy you, Jens, your favourite bottle of wine.
Oh.
Right, if we achieve that,
very kind offer, Coggy, but you know there's no chance. I'm going out of those 11 games, we are going to lose 3 of them. And is that enough? Like win 6? I don't know. You just, the ability to surprise, like Everton, I was sure no chance. So that cheered us up, didn't it? Look at us, we're still smiling now.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Saturday, start drinking about 3 p.m. I think, and I'm going to Google which is the tastiest Nolan sister.
No.
what you haven't already?
And then write a message to dear Deirdre Bartlow. Right. On that note, take care, everyone listening. Keep your head above water. Cheers, everyone. Take care, lads.
Cheers, lads.
See you later. See ya.
Take care.
Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.